Over here, we're learning the Mishnah of Chavon Aleph. Chavon Aleph, we're learning the Mishnah. Let's say before they erase the Megillah. Oh, the Grei Sereb Rav Shulimin is here. Wow, we have a Lebnik Olam over here tonight.
Yeah.
Okay, let's say before they erase the Megillah, Rav Shulimin, we're learning over here Chavon Aleph. Chavon Aleph, the Mishnah. The woman says, I do not want to drink. She's afraid. Now, there can be two reasons why the woman does not want to drink the water. Number one, because she admits her guilt. Number two, she's not guilty. I'm not guilty, but she's afraid. There is such a thing that even though I'm innocent, but because it's a scary thing, it's a frightening thing. So the question is, why does this woman, now this is a critical thing we have to know. Why does the woman not want to drink? Is it because she admits her guilt?
Or is it? Ask her?
Yes, we do ask her.
So we're going to see the nafkam, and I'm going to see
what she says. I will not drink. So what is the halacha? So it says in the Mishnah, Megillas nignezes. So it says that we do not erase the Megillah. The Megillah is not going to be erased. Everyone agrees to that. It doesn't matter why. This point does not make a difference. If the Megillah was not yet erased in water, everyone agrees that the Megillah, we don't erase it. And the Megillah is put in Geniza.
You might declare that you could give it to somebody else.
Everything we learned before was where we didn't erase it yet.
Was what?
No, the opposite. Everything we learned before was where we erased the words already, so now you force her to drink.
Correct. And we're going to get to that soon also. Even where they erased the Megillah.
We had that last blood.
Correct. Okay, we'll come to that again. Right now, they did not yet erase the Megillah, so the law is that we do not force her, we do not, and she admits, or she does not want to drink, whatever the reason is, we do not erase the Megillah. Vaita, what about Umin Chasa? Mispazeres al Hadeshin. The mincha, her meal offering, that she has not yet offered, because the Gemara is now making an assumption that this was yesterday's daf, is what is the seder bringing the mincha? Do you bring the mincha before you erase or after? So the assumption over here is it's before. Mm-hmm. It's before. So the mincha
I think
has
it's
not.
A machlekes, but,
it's machlekes. So, yeah. But the fact of it that it says over the mission is that they did not. They're up to erasing Hashem's name, and she said, I'm not going to drink the water. So then, just like
when it's for Ishka, it's already after. That's for sure.
It's a machlokes. Right. We're not. So we're not discussing here when she already drank. The Mishnah is very precise. They did not yet erase Hashem's name. And according to the Tana of this Mishnah, it automatically means they did not yet bring the Mincha. Because the Mincha, according to this Tana of this Mishnah, is offered after she drinks the water. So if they did not even erase Hashem's name in the water, that means certainly they did not yet offer the mincha.
So this is talking, this happens before the previous mishnah. It's out of order.
Correct. Well, the previous mishnah was not okay. Fine. You want to look like that? You know, not necessarily, but let's just say fine in that case. So what do they do? She brought a mincha. The mincha is in the kli shares. So the mincha has kedushas haguf because they put already the flour inside the kli shares, and the mincha is not going to be offered. So they take the mincha and they burn it on the base hadeshen. Uminchasa mispazeres al hadeshen. Now, which deshen? Not the deshen outside the base.
No, forgive me. The mincha was burned, and then you give her the drink.
No, there's machloikis of what the seder hadam.
Yeah.
The Gemara is going to explain.
Yeah.
Right now, let's make an assumption. Make a very simple assumption. The Gemara will clarify in more detail. Is that the seder hadvarim is first they give her to drink, and then she offers the carbon mincha. So if right now we're going to stop the whole show and we're not going to even erase Hashem's name, certainly we're not going to bring the carbon mincha. But the carbon mincha already has kedusha saguf. You can't go take it home and eat the flour. The flour is sacred because it was put in the klisharis. So what do you do with the flour? You burn the flour on the deshen, on the ash inside the azara. Every single morning, chumas hadeshen. Every morning, they would take from the mizbeach a small amount of ash and they would bring it down the ramp and they would put it on the floor of the azara, called trumas hadeshen. That is where you would burn the flour of her mincha when it's not going to be offered. Next, ve'ein migilasa kasheru lahashkois bo soit achev. So new halacha. This woman has said, I'm not going to drink the water. So they already wrote a parchment, a little kameya, which has Hashem's name in it. Maybe we can preserve it. We can put away this Kameya, this Megillah, and will save it in for safekeeping, that the next time a Soita comes to the Beis HaMikdash, we will have available a Megillah that's ready to go. No, because the halacha is... We're going
to
explain in a moment why we don't force. Let's just read the Mishnah. We do not go and put this way for safekeeping, because the halacha is that the Megillah has to be written l'shma, just like a get. The halacha is the sofer must write the get.
Not everybody agrees.
But just like when it comes to a get, there's a halacha of a chos avlo sefer krisos. The get has to be written specifically for her. And if it's written for another person, even if she has the same name and the same husband's name, it's no good. So too, the Megillah has to be written specifically for her. And therefore, it's not, you can't use it for a different person. Because even though her name does not appear in the Megillah, but yet
can
when...
you use it for her, for a different husband and a different... L'chor or not.
The answer is no. No, the answer is no. It has to be, it's now or never. No. Because Sheryl Hashkas is for Ain Megillosa. Right. Says the word. That's how you know. That's how you know. That's the Lishma. Fine. The Ain Megillosa Sheryl Hashkas was Soit Acheres. Next. Let's say.
It says Soit Acheres, but doesn't mean her. If she comes up again in a case where everybody agrees.
A different verse. So you want to make a deal. So L'chora, this might be totally. This maybe is totally in the previous daf. In the previous staff, we learned about one ish, one boil. Two ish.
All right,
I don't know.
Agree,
you want to go? You. It sounds like something.
We all agree that she does drink it a second time. So maybe, could you save it for her?
I don't know. Maybe you would say the cave that it's, you know, it's disqualified, like nidche. Once it's been disqualified because we put an end to this, then maybe it's no longer like nidche.
So it should be totally in that machlokes. Oh
no, I don't know. That's a very big sugya. We need a big goyim like a Rishulim to go and explain to us the laws of nidche, balichayim nidachim, and then you have korbanos nidachim. There are many different categories of dichui. So what will be the halacha when you have a Megillah that was written for this woman and the boil, and then she says, I'm not going to drink, and then somehow we want to reinstate it. We want to go use it at a later point. You have to have a hechatim, so where it's actually going to happen. Do we say that once it's been pushed away, it's been nitche, kevon dodochui, shuv, eina nireh. What are the laws? I do not know. Next. Now we go to Lucas. Let's say the Megillah was taka erased. They have proceeded in the process. They've taken the Megillah and they put it into the water and they've dissolved it. Hashem's name has been dissolved into the water. The Omra. And then she makes the following statement. Tameya ani. I am Tameya. I don't want to drink because I know that if I drink this water, I'm going to die. That's what the Pasuk says. I'm guilty. I don't want to die. I confess that I'm guilty.
She goes home.
What? So, but not to her husband. She's forbidden not to him and not to the boil, not to the one that she lived with.
So they pour out the
and
water.
And what do they do with the water? Because she confessed, the water
why
is...
Why is she not forbidden?
She's forbidden to the boil. She confessed. She's an Ashes Ishes Insa. She's also to her husband and she's also to the boil. And she confesses. The reason why she confessed, because she wants to live. She knows that if she's going to drink the water, she's going to die. So now, what do we do with the water? What do we do with the water? So
what do you do with her? What do you do with her?
She goes home. She goes home. She gets divorced. She's done. She can no longer...
Why did you kill her?
What? No witnesses. Technicalities. Right. Because there are no witnesses. The killer, you have to...
In order to get a site, you have to have witnesses.
Yeah, there has to be... You have to have Eide Hasra, you have to have witnesses, and you have to have Asra. There are technical reasons why she cannot be put to death.
Right.
Okay, in order for her to be put to death, there has to be Eide, and there has to be Hasra.
I got it, I'm sorry, I got it.
Okay, Vaita. Welcome, Mr. Rappaport. Okay, so now, what's the next thing over here? So David, so what do we do with the water? The Hamayim Nishpachim, the water is, where is it spilled out? Where do they spill out the water? What does Rashi say?
The Yam HaMelech.
Doesn't say. Who's the Yam HaMelech?
I say.
Yeah, and the water does not say where they spill out the water. Vaita. Umin chasam mispazeres al beis hadesh. And the same exact thing, the mincha, is that it's not yet been offered, is spilled on the base, is scattered on the deshen, on the dashen. Now notice over here it says al beis hadashen. In the beginning of the Mishnah, the very important deek in the Mishnah. In the beginning of the Mishnah, it says it's poured out al hadeshen, and here it says mis bazeres al beis hadeshen. So what does Rashi say? The difference between the two, Rashi dibur hamaskil al beis hadeshen shiba azara. In the Azar, don't be misled. Rashi is saying, do not be misled. It's really this, exactly the same thing. If we only came to learn this, would be Kedai. Did you know that? If you're on Jeopardy and they ask you this question, how many Beis Hadeshens are there? Are you going to remember this stuff? You say, Soit Dav Chof. Mm-hmm. There are three Beis Hadeshens. Because it has sanctity, you cannot take it outside of the Azara. There's a Beis Hadeshen outside of the in Yerushalayim. They say through forensic testing that we know where Mir Gula, the neighbor of Gula, is in Eretz Yisrael.
Gula,
where Mir Yeshiva is.
That's where all of
the boys learn.
The pizza stores.
So they claim that where Geula, where Mir Yeshiva is, that's where the Beis Hadeshen was. That's where they brought the ashes.
I thought inside.
What?
Mir Yeshiva is not in Geula.
Was it in?
Meisharim, I think. Beis Yisrael.
Okay, that area. They have done forensic testing. They found ash. They found the earth from that area, and they've done testing, and they claim it's ash from animal products, which leads to suspect that this was the place where when the mizbech was full, they took the ash to what's called the Beis Hadeshen. The Beis Hadeshen that's outside.
So why did you say it was in the Azara?
Because there's another Beis Hadeshen. There are three. There's another Beis Hadeshen in the Azara itself.
With the chaslik kachikachik.
Right, so you can't take that outside of the Beis Hamikdash. The regular deshen, it's already been done. It's already ash. It's been burnt on the Mizbeach. But then there are things that have not yet been burnt on the Mizbeach and may not ascend the Mizbeach because they're pusel. So they can't take it. They're stuck between a rock and a hard place. They can't take it. They can't put it on the Mizbeach because it's pusel. And they also cannot take it outside of the Azara because it's sacred.
So that's where the Memphis burns.
So what do? They burn it in the Azara. And there was a small section in the Azara where they dedicated for the burning of things that were disqualified. You can't take it out of the Azara because it's sacred. But on the other hand, you can't burn it on the Mizbech because it's disqualified. So you're stuck in between.
Is that an
avoida? No, it's not an avoida. It's the practical.
Because otherwise, it would be an avoida Azara, you mean?
An avoid in the Azara? Avoid Azara. Avoid Azara. Okay, we want to congratulate on another well.
How come Rashi doesn't explain the three basic?
I don't know. The kid doesn't say so. Therefore, it appears over there are two deshens. The beginning of the Mishnah, it says uminchasa mispazeres al hadeshen, and here it says when they already erased Hashem's name, it says al beis hadeshen. Okay, there's a lot.
So the first al hadeshen means.
Oh, so it sounds like that it's not the same. And the question is, what exactly
the
is the difference?
The one next to the Mizbeach.
Yeah, so what exactly is the difference? What's the difference between the two, and why is there a difference? Okay, this requires a very deep contemplation to understand the chiluk edidim and kachim between these two situations. And it's totally also in the Seder Hadvarim of when they gave her to drink. Did they give her to drink before they offered the mincha or after the mincha? Okay, I'll discuss it another time. Yeah. Right now, we have to go weiter. Okay, next. Okay. So therefore, al beis hadesh. Next, nimchuka hamigila. Now, next case. Now, there's a contradiction in the Mishnah. The Mishnah goes on to say, well, not a contradiction. The first time when the woman did not want to drink was because she said tameya. She confessed. Tameya ani. I've committed the avera. I know that if I drink it, I'm going to die, and therefore I'm guilty. I'm also to my husband. I'm also to the boyel. And let's just stop right here. Fine. Let's say she does not confess, and she says, I didn't do anything. I'm telling you, I did not do anything, but I'm afraid to drink the water. I'm afraid to drink the water. I don't want to drink the water for whatever the reasons are. So now, what do we do? In this situation, we force her. If she does not want to say Tamea Ani, I'm Tamea, and she does not want to voluntarily drink the water on her own, we take her, we hold her down, and we open up her throat, like what they do in the doctor's office, the little
dentist,
children,
the dentist.
And the dentist.
The mom, she said that they put a clamp
a hook,
or something.
A clamp. They put some type of device into her mouth, and they forced...
Did we have that yet?
No, we did not have that. Maybe we did. I don't remember. Let's say, we strangulate her. Okay, we basically, it's a word, I don't even know what the word means precisely.
No, it means like we force her.
We force her to open her mouth and we give her the drink against her will. Next. Now, what happens when she drinks
the
water?
But when the Mishnah says in the beginning she doesn't want to drink?
The Gemara is going to explain. In the beginning, we said that they did not yet erase the Megillah. If they did not yet erase Hashem's name, it doesn't matter why she does not want to drink.
But here they already erased it.
If it were Mechalik, it's a very important insight that there are two parts of the Mishnah. The first part of the Mishnah is where they did not yet erase Hashem's name. In that case, if she says, I will not drink this, then they don't do anything. They do not erase. We don't ask her why. We don't force her. If you don't want to drink, then you know what? We're not going to make you drink, but there are consequences. You're not going to be permitted to go back to your husband. Even though you never admitted guilt. She never admitted guilt. It doesn't matter. If you don't want to drink, fine. Don't drink. You're not going back to your husband. You're not going to the boil. And we're not going to erase the parchment. But if they have already erased Hashem's name, now we make an investigation. Why don't you want to drink? So if she openly says, I'm guilty, then it's over. She's also to her husband, to the boil, and she does not drink. But if she says, I'm not guilty, I'm innocent, it's just I learned the Daf Gemara, and I know that this is serious business, and very strange things can happen now, and maybe I was guilty in another lifetime for doing this, whatever the case is, or made me balzeh.
She learned Sota?
Yeah, she went to Daf Yomi, Chveis. And she knows that this is serious stuff over here, and she's afraid to drink the water, so then we force her to drink the water. Now we go to the next part of the Mishnah. Let's say she drinks the water, and she's guilty. And she says, I'll take a risk. She doesn't have Yirah Shemayim, and she thinks this is a joke, and she drinks the water, and what happens? She dies. How does she die?
If she's guilty.
Now we're going to a new part of the Mishnah. Maspekes lishtois. She doesn't even finish. She does not have a chance to complete the drinking. Once the water enters her mouth, she already begins to die. The process of death already begins before
she has to drink a revius kos.
It says not even a revius. Even before the water gets down the throat, she's already on the way out.
Yeah.
Eina maspekes. She does not complete lishtois, the process of drinking, even a mashahu. Her face turns green. Her eyes bulge. And the skin of her face, the veins on her face bulge.
Who says the gidin goes on the face?
I don't know, maybe not. What else would be going on the
so
body?
So Rashi says, the gidin
what is Rashi?
The cheeks, or maybe you're right.
Okay, I think her face begins to bulge.
But look what it says here. Gidin shivala. What does it say?
Hagidin shivalechayecha. Her cheeks. The gidin, the sinews.
They blow up.
In her cheek. Noivchim, they are swollen. They swell. Inflammation. Veneres kimileya gidin. It looks like that her cheeks are filled with sinews. The gam bisra nases shita shel neficha. Her flesh on her body, it becomes chunks of swollen flesh. The achitani b'sifrei kemin sharvitin
scepters
mizura kinba are thrown into her. It's like someone is throwing at her, is beating her up, baton with different things. So fine. Ve'enecha boltos, her eyes they bulge. Ve'hi mismaleis gidin ve'hem oimrim. And the kohanim in the Beis Hamidrash, when they witness that she's about to die, they say, get her out of here. because if she died, she's going to contaminate everything in the Beis HaMikdash. They say, she should not contaminate the Azara.
The Azara is Machaneh Shechina. Where is she standing? Where are they giving her to drink? That's before the Azara.
So the assumption is they're giving her to drink in the Shar Nikanor, which is Machaneh Leviyah. But the Gemara is the Azara. The Azara is Machaneh Shechina. Shar Nikanor is Machaneh Leviyah. But the Azara is Machaneh Lechor. They give her to drink in Machaneh Shechina. We'll see in the Gemara.
So then the whole Kasha doesn't begin. We'll see.
Im Yesh Lo Zuchus. Let's say she's guilty as sin. Yeah. She is guilty. And they gave her to drink. And guess what? Nothing happened. Mr. Goldberg, how do you explain that? Yeah. How the Torah says,
she has chosim.
She waits for her husband to go to the Beis Medrash and sit and learn. She lets her husband go learn daf yomi. Yeah. She has chosim. Yeish la schus chayis atoy lala. The schus can cause a suspension, a delay.
A delay
in her death. Yesh, and the Gemara tells us not all zuchusim, it's not one size fits all.
Right.
There are different types of zuchusim. If the wife let her husband learn one mesechta, she lives certain long. If she learned two mesechtas, longer, three whole shas. What about 37 times learning shas? Can you imagine what a zuchus the wife has? Yesh zuchus toila. There's a zuchus that's toila shana, achas 1 year. Yesh zuchus toila beishanim. And Yesh Chus Toile Gimel Shonim Mikan Oime Ben Azai Chayiv Adam. From here we learn
she can't do teshuva, huh?
That this is a shocking Gemara. This is a Dvar Mifo. If we only came to learn this, it would be Kedai. From here we learn about it, that because it might happen one day that a woman might become a Soita. This is the reason why a person should teach his daughter Torah. Mikan. From here we learn Mikan Omar Ben Azai Chayiv Adam. Lelamed es bitay Torah. You hear this?
Tiflis.
No. Ben Azai says you mechuyif to sit down and learn with your daughter daf Gemara.
That she should be aware of this.
They say that Rebbetzin Brurio David. She learned bechavrusa with.
Did you drink any of your coffee yet?
L'chaim. Maybe there's someone to submit to the water over. You know, you're not supposed to drink.
Nay.
Did you make a bracha?
I did make a bracha. Before you came, I made a bracha.
So Ben Azai says,
she should have Yira Shemayim, Shim Tishte, Teda, Shazuchus Toilon. It's a pillar where the Gemara says that she should not become an apikores.
That means that's what she does.
Delay. Very interesting. Another brilliant pun from Shlomo Rabinowitz. Here is a pillar where the Gemara says is that when she drinks this water, she should, and she doesn't die, what's going to happen? She will become an apikores. She'll say, you see, I told you. I did the Avera, I drank the water, and look, nothing happened to me. And she's not going to understand the reason why nothing happened to me is because I have a merit. What's the merit? I went, I gave tzedakah, I went and I helped the person, I did a chesed for a person. But when a woman, this is a Dvar Niflum, what the Mishnah here says directly, when a person learns Torah, they come to an understanding that in life you can have merit. The merit is not necessarily Talmud Torah, but through learning Torah, it opens up a person's mind to appreciate that not everything that you see in this world is the way it appears.
Right.
If you don't learn Torah,
that's the tachlis why he says you have to
right.
learn.
Learning
they should
Torah
realize that
creates,
if it doesn't happen, it'll be the
right.
chosim.
It's an incredible thing. The goal of learning Torah, Ben Azai reveals indirectly, is when you learn Torah, you come to an appreciation that not everything in this world is the way it seems. There are people that are wicked, and they deserve to be punished, and Hashem holds back. Hashem doesn't punish them immediately because they have zuchusim. Everyone to some degree has zuchusim.
Oh, he's waiting for
and if you don't learn Torah, if you don't learn Torah, you'll never come to have that appreciation. You're not going to understand why Kadosh Baruch Hu, Tzadik V'Raloi, Rosh V'Toivloi. Learning Torah gives a person an appreciation of these concepts And it prevents a person from, Rachmana Litzlan, being a boyet against the Ribbono Shel Olam when he sees Tzadik Viral and Rasha V'Toivla.
Yeah.
Because she is a Rasha, and it's a Toivla. And how does she deal with this? So a person that's not, doesn't have the background, can Rachmana Litzlan.
So you're telling me he's learning with them because maybe she might be a Saita?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what it says.
Every father has to learn with the daughter. Yeah. There might be in that situation.
Obviously, there's a message. Obviously, there's a message. The message is not everyone become a soita, but he's saying over a very deep message. This is a typical topic. In the extreme case, a woman can be a soita, and she'll drink the mayim hamorim, and she won't die.
Yeah.
And she'll now have a question.
For how many years?
What's the question? I'm a Russia.
A year, 2 years, I'm a Russia.
I did a terrible avera. And nothing happened to me. Rosh of a Toivloi.
Yeah.
And that question can make a person, Rachmana Litzlan, into an apikoris. So what is the antidote? The antidote is to learn Torah. What do you learn? Learn Shor Shenoga Chesapara. What does Shor Shenoga Chesapara have to do with Tzadik Viraloi? And Rosh of a Toivloi. What does Shor Shenoga Chesapara have anything to do with teaching you Hashkafa, the most complex concepts of tzaddik virale rosh v'toivlei?
Yeah, no,
the answer is the kedushas haTorah. That's how it goes. It's magic. You learn about shor shnogach hasaparo. You learn about the arba shaymrim. Eile mitziyah shlevi lechav lahachris. The kedusha in the Torah nenela gives you the yira shemayim to be able to deal with tzaddik virale rosh v'toivlei.
Yeah.
Now, what are the chances that she'll be a soita? Maybe 0.00001%. But yet it's a dogma. It's a mashal. It's a mashal. Ben Azi over here is teaching you a mashal. This is a dogma of Rasha V'Toivloi. And in order to be able to cope with this is Talmud Torah.
I still don't understand what a shor has to do with a sota.
It's the kedusha of the Halak Torah.
You have to come on to learn Torah because of a site that shouldn't make a mistake, so Torah will teach her that she doesn't get killed right away. I
just told you the whole shot in the Gemara. I told you a very deep shot in the Gemara. Someone who learned Shas 37 times should understand the concept over here. The Gemara is giving you a dogma. The woman can drink the Mayim Hamorim. Yeah? And what's going to happen to her? She's going to live. So what is she going to say to herself? I did the Avera. I'm a Rasha. And the Torah said, if you're a Rasha, you're going to die. And look, I'm not dying. I'm alive. I'm healthy. I'm well. Everything is fine and good. So isn't that what Moshe Rabbeinu said to the Ribbono Shel Olam? Hareini no es kivaydecha. Tzadik viraloi Rasha v'toivloi. So she can go off the derech from this. So what is the solution, Ben Azai? Ben Azai says the solution is that a father should learn with his daughter Torah. What is he going to teach her? What is the father going to teach his daughter? Eilu mitziya shaloi. No. Not soita. Eilu mitziya shaloi.
According to Ben Azai, you can teach her anything you want.
Anything you want. You teach her eilu mitziya shaloi. The eilu chayav lahachmas. Teach her shor shnur chasapar. Teach her mesechta kelim, mesechta negoyim. What do these things have to do with soita? Nothing. But the kedusha satoira, when you learn a daf gemara, it is filled with.
Rashi says, right?
Rashi says, let's see Rashi. Rashi, Teidash, Zuchus, next Rashi, Rabbi Shua.
No, that Rashi.
Tire, Vitilma, Vitasha, Soita. Teidash, Zuchus, Toilala. Tire, she will see. Vitilmad, Vitasha, Soita. Shazuchus toile. Rafina Mivinikas of Nizra Zera, Vinikas Aide Zuchuyos Kadesh Zera Tes Kadoshim, the Yesham Yoising Fresh Vigmar. Okay, you're right. I don't take back one iota of what I said. What I said is Jewish. Rashi over here is saying a different Yisoid. Rashi is the Ikar. Rashi is saying that by learning, you'll teach her the parish of Saita. Okay, you'll teach her Saita. She'll know that in case that she does not die, it's not because she's a tzaddik.
Forgive me, look at the previous Rashi. It'll answer your question. It's Tami Bazara. Look at that Rashi.
It's
a Tami Bazara.
Shloitim Bazara, Shar Nikonor, Ezra's Noshim.
Here's your answer. That's Machalavia.
Shatet derech sham ulkamei parach v'har minah and ba'almo the shari nikin olin niskatchu v'koshkin ezras nashim. That's why it's called an azara. Shulim azara. Fine. Umeis mutul likonis that's gemara niskatchu later. Fine. That's another guy.
And arayim because Rabbeinu had the
azara means ezras nashim. All right. Let's go vayit now. So therefore, over here we learn the murdik. He said the benazai says that a person teaches Torah. Torah is the best. When you learn a daf gemara, you're learning so much Yerushalayim is going into your head.
What's interesting, you Rashi says, you're teaching him Parshas Sa'ita. We see what Rashi.
Rashi, not what I said. Rashi is the Iker. Rashi is the Rabban Shel Yisrael. Rabbi Nimuka Imoy. He's called Nimukin. Rashi is Parshandosa. Parshandosa. Perash, the Das. Parshandos is the parish of the Das Torah. Das.
Okay, weiter.
So, but Mr. Goldberg, you understand the concept?
Yeah.
When you learn a Daf Gemara, Ari Victor teaches you a Daf Gemara. He's putting into you so much Yerushalayim that when you look at life, it's a whole different life. You see, of X-ray vision, you see a whole different world that a person who doesn't have the schus to learn a Daf Gemara doesn't see. The father learns with his daughter Daf Gemara, so she now, when she sees that she's not done, no, it's because there's a chusim, this is a complicated world. It opens up your mind.
I should have learned more Torah with my father.
Everyone can say that. Okay, Vaita. Next. Okay, next. Then we come to the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer, the Yud. Rabbi Eliezer, he disagrees. Call him a bito yitayra, ki ilu, loimda, tiflus. Foolishness.
Oh, that's what I said.
Tiflus. Don't learn with women Torah. The Gemara said women means tiflus. Okay? He says this is chas v'shalom. What's going to be when this woman over here, to give her to drink and she doesn't die? So that's her problem. We don't have to be worried. We don't have to go worry about what's going to be with this woman that they give her to drink and she doesn't die. She'll become an apikoris. That's not our problem. We have to look at the big picture. 99.999% of women are not soitas. Memela, for them, they don't need to know this. They don't need to know this. So why do you want to go teach them Torah? You want to teach them what intellectual stimulation? What do you want to teach them Torah for? It's not their tafkid. V'limadetem oisames b'neichem, b'neichem v'loy b'noiseichem. B'neichem v'loy b'noiseichem. I once went to a place where there was a rav. He asked this question, and he said, a woman's place is in the kitchen. There was a girl there. There was a girl there who broke out. It was a very sensitive girl.
Tears?
She mamish broke out. B'chiyos shlish. She was mamish crying. Real tears.
When she heard this.
When he said that? He said this person is a little eccentric. He says, a woman's place is not to learn. He said, and I was like, oh, I give out. What is this guy saying over here? What in the world is this guy talking about? And there was a girl there, like a modern girl, a very tamimistic girl, and she mamish broke out crying. And like, oh, I give out. What a nightmare. What a nightmare this guy created over here. Okay,
so Kol HaMelamed. Oh, that's the whole story?
Fine. Kol HaMelamed is Bita. Okay, fine.
She switched shuls.
Rabbi Yeshua says, Roitza Isha Bekav V'tiflus Mites Kabin Uprishus. What is this Hemshech over here? Nothing. Rabbi Yeshua is saying the woman prefers a Kav. What's a Kav? Kav is a small measure of Tiflus Mites Kabin of 9 measures, uprishos, which means discipline, which means musa. In other words,
the Gemara will explain.
Rashi, guys, the Gemara, fine. We'll leave for now. Next. Next halacha is, who are you? I'm a chassid shaita, v'rasha arum. These are 4 different categories of people. A chassid shaita. What's a chassid shaita, Rashi? Rashi tells us, we'll leave the Gemara.
If a woman is drowning, he doesn't save her.
Chaz doesn't want to save her. Don't touch a woman because he's drowning. Fine. V'rasha arum,
very cunning,
a cunning, wicked person. V'isha pirusha, a woman that practices pirushas more than she should.
Yeah.
Even though it's a good zach called kavud bas melech penima. Umakois pirushin, to hit yourself against the wall. A person goes up to the wall and he bangs head into the wall, and he says, And he's, ich bin a garnished. What does Rashi say? Rashi says, makos perushin, mefarsh b'gemara, shemakos atzma b'kesolim l'harwes shehu ona v'tzenua. He bangs his head into the wall to make believe that he's a humble, humble person. He's a meshugana.
Yeah.
He's a meshugana. Fine. Hare elu mevale olam. These people destroy the world. Okay, this needs a lot of hezber.
Yeah.
And we're going to have a very good shiur. Shalim is going to explain to us what all these things mean.
Nee.
Gemara. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Mishum HaMeir. Kisho yisi lo mitara eitzal Rabbi Akiva. When I learned the Halakha Torah, by Rabbi Akiva, hayisi matil kan kunosam l'soich adyoi. Okay, now this is a very an interesting concept. Kankunosam is an ingredient.
A compound.
An ingredient which prevents ink from being erased. And the Gemara, let me give you in a nutshell. The Gemara is going to say is that we don't do this thing. It's a very interesting thing. We don't do today when the ink that we use today on our Sifrei Torah today in the 21st century is so strong, it's basically impossible to be erased. Mamish. Impossible.
It could pop off.
The only way you can get over is you have to mamish cut off a piece of the parchment, a sliver of the parchment. When they make mistakes,
Sifrei
make mistakes, what they do is they literally take off a sliver of the actual parchment. Because there's no way today with the ink that is used today to actually.
So why do you have to check then it comes in contact with ink or water?
Because sometimes if you spit on it, it can spread, it wasn't done gradually. There are other issues. But for the ink to be erased is literally impossible today. That
but it
is
wasn't
not
always like that.
This is not the way it's supposed to be. Me'ikar hadin. L'chatchila, the ink is supposed to be made in such a way where it can be erased.
So why? How come?
Where it can be mezuyef, where you can forge it. There's a desire that when you have a Torah, that it's emes. And emes means I could fake it. I can be mezuyef. I can go and you can erase it and you can write something else in its place and no one will know the difference. Me'ikar hadin. The ink that you use on Kisvei Kodesh and all Davar Shem B'Kedusha and all Nyanim is supposed to be able that it should be erased. We don't do this today.
What about the Megillah Saita?
Oh, we're going to come back. We don't do this today. Why not? Because if it would be able to be erased, basically every Sefer Torah would become possible very quickly. And we are not sophisticated enough and prepared in order. It's very expensive, very difficult.
What happened
so
in Europe?
They didn't have the technology in those days to have ink that cannot be erased. All the old Sifrei Torah, the old ink, the pops off. It's erased. We today, it's not ma'akev. Even though if it cannot be erased, it's not a lechatchila. It's kosher. It's mahudar. It's fine.
Yeah.
But really, may ikar hadin, if you really want to do it the right way, which no one does, is that the ink should be able to be erased. There is such a concept that you should have an opportunity to do ziuf, to do forgery. But you don't. It is a very deep concept that there's potential for it to be forged, but it's not. Now, here is a story where a person, he did not know this, and he adarab, he put into the ink an ingredient that prevented it from ever being erased. And that ingredient is called kan konosum. Ezo hayisi matel, I put into my ink kan kantum. No one else did this. All of the other soifim of the day, they did not put this ingredient into the ink, which meant all of the other soifim used ink that was erasable. Now, it means erasable. You know what it also means? It means that a fly can come on the letter and peck away at the ink and make it possible.
Yeah.
For example, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echod. Why is the dalet a large dalet? There are many reasons, because one is it should not say Hashem Acher. Acher. Hashem is Echod and not Acher. If a fly will come on the back of the Dalit and take away the corner of the Dalit, it turns the Dalit into Echod, into Hashem Acher. And that's Kefira. So in order that no one should ever come, nothing should ever happen where a letter changes and turns into an expression that's not Mikorsis, he added into the ink a special ingredient to prevent it from ever becoming erased. So, Hayisi Matil Kankantum L'Tzoch Adyoi. V'loy Amar li davar. No one went and ever said boo to me.
No, I meant to say Rabbi Akiva didn't say anything to me.
He did not say anything. He did not say anything to me. Kishabasi ito Rabbi Shmuel. When I came to Rabbi Shmuel, Amar li bini, ma malachtecha. Now Rabbi Shmuel did not know the secret that he put this ingredient. And what is your parnas? Ma malachtecha. Amar ti loy lav lorani. I'm a scribe. Amar li. So he said to me, you're a scribe. You better be careful. You're dealing with dvarim ha'omdim beruma yeshaloylam. Bini, have a zoyer. Shemalachatcham alecha shemayim. He. Shema tachzir oisachas. If you're missing one letter, this is the makar of the Gemara, the makar. How do you know that if you're missing one letter in a Sefer Torah, that a Sefer Torah is possible? Show me. Where does it say this? Where does it say this? Well, this Gemara, right here.
I haven't learned through 17 times Shas.
This is where it says. This is the makar. This is the makar that if you're missing one ois, I know. If we're missing one ois Sefer Torah, it's possible. Where? Here it is. Here's the Gemara. Shema tachzir oisachas soitu davchav. Shema tachzir oisachas tata yul ed oisachas nimseis ata machriv eskol ha'olam kulo. You'll destroy the entire world.
What does that mean? You'll destroy.
Oh, I don't know what it means. What is
so it doesn't say puzzle.
It says if you destroy the whole world, it means puzzle. Amarti lo. So he told him. Here's the secret. He said to him, you know what? No problem. I don't got to worry about that. Davar echo, I have a secret to tell you. I do something no other sefer does. I add to my ink an ingredient which prevents it from becoming erased. Amarti loy. Davar echo yeshli shani matul sefer adyoy. V'kan kan tum shemoy. Omar li. So he said to me, what? What? You put into your ink an ingredient that prevents it becoming erased? Today, if there would be a soita today, listen to this. If there would be a soita, the Gemara is going to have a whole discussion. Can you take the part, the Sefer Torah, cut out the urea, the section of Parsha Soita, and use that for the soita? Let's say there's a soita, it's an emergency. We got to get this over with, no one has time to write the Megillah. So you know what? Take out a Sefer Torah from the Ur HaKodesh and take the parchment where it says that section, cut it out, and use it for a soita.
I asked Akasha. He says no, you don't cut it off. You actually take it.
Whole urea, right? So if they would do it, so the Gemara says,
not that you remove the urea. Yeah.
You remove that part. However, but you take it out from the Sefer Torah. Guess what? If they would do this today, it wouldn't work, because today you can soak the parchment in water for today until tomorrow. It will never get erased. It will never be erased. But the Gemara says that you can do it. The Gemara says that you can theoretically do it. If the Gemara says you can theoretically do it, which automatically means is that the Sefer Torah, when you write it, has to have potential that it could be erased. If the Gemara says that you take a Sefer Torah and you can take that section and you can put it in water and it can dissolve and you can use it for a soita, that automatically implies that if you would to do it, the letters would dissolve. If you go to any shul today and you take a Sefer Torah and you try to do this, it will not dissolve. And he was from these people. He said, Rebbe, you don't have to worry. My Sefer Torah are never going to be missing a letter. You know why? I add a special ingredient which prevents it from ever being erased. He says, Gewalt, Gewalt, and all of your Sefer Torah apostle. Because the Sefer Torah has to have potential that it could be erased. Why? Because you're able to use the Sefer Torah for Saita. So,
aren't you supposed to write, the Pasha for Saita, specifically for a specific Saita?
Oh, excellent.
Yeah.
L'shma. So this man Damer holds.
No one's going to talk about
this man Damer holds.
You're not going to write,
either he did it. Maybe he did it. Maybe he did it. Maybe when the husband wrote it, he wrote his own Sefer Torah, and he has a wife, and he knows who she's fooling around with. He wrote it. He wrote it. Or this time it holds that you don't need to do Lashma. You don't need to do Lashma. Let's learn Pasha. It's Machloikas. Fine. Amali, so he said to me, what? You put into the Diyoy an ingredient that prevents it from becoming erased. Are you allowed to do this? Are you allowed to go do this? You shall erase it. Ksav. And since you can use a Sefer Torah, it's a Ksav, Sheyochol Limchois. Okay, that's the Gemara. That's the mem. Now the Gemara wants to interject and elaborate and explain what's going on. What exactly did he say, and what was the answer? Hach Kamalei. loy mibaya. It was what did I put into my. He said, you know, you better be your lavla. You better be careful. It's melecha shemayim. Make sure there's no missing letters and make sure there's no extra letters. So he says, not to worry. I put special ink into the dip. What? What is the response of putting special ingredients into the ink have anything to do with adding letters or missing letters? My kamalei, my mahadalei. Ha kamalei. You're right. I'm super duper careful. When I write, I'm very careful to make sure there are no extra letters and no missing letters. Not only that, I'm afraid that if I write Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, maybe a fly will come and make the dalet into a resh. It'll be Hashem Acher. So to prevent that from happening, what do? I put special ingredients into the ink so that no fly should peck away and make it different. Lo mi bayo, the b'chaser is v'yaseris, the bokian, I'm an expert, elo, afilu, lemechash, lezavuf, even for a fly, the Dilma Osi, the Yosef Atage, maybe a fly will come and sit down and rest on the tag, which means here the corner of a word, the Dalit, of the letter Dashem Echad, Umachik Lei, and will erase the Dalit, Umash Vilei Resh, and it'll say Hashem Acher. He's a different God. Hashem is a foreign God, which I'll be curses. The Acher, Dover Acher, another example.
It doesn't say Acher, it says Echad, I think. Dover Echad, no?
Period. Therefore, what do? The solution is I have special ingredients called kankantum. Dover Echad Yeshli, Shani Matul Sachadioi, Vic kankantum Shumoi. And that prevents it from being erased.
So he said,
"Any of your Tanya little brayso."
That's the opposite.
Amar Rabbi Meir Kishayisi Lom Atar Eitzel Rabbi Shmuel Hayisi Matel Kan Kantum. So Rabbi Shmuel told him, "You can't do this." He said, "What are you doing? You're not allowed to do this. You're telling me that you're adding special ingredients into your ink in order to prevent it becoming erased, but the Torah says you're able to go use this part of the Torah for soita, and the soita umocha has to be erased." So Rabbi Shmuel criticized him. Rabbi Shmuel held that when you write a Sefer Torah, the ink has to be of a certain nature, where if you were to soak it in water, it would dissolve entirely. Frek the Gemara, we have a steer in Rabbi Shmuel, because there was another ma'is with Rabbi Shmuel, and Rabbi Shmuel himself would have put the ingredients into the ink. Oh, but it says, "V'atayim b'meir kashiyisi lo mitar eitz Rabbi Shmuel chayisi matul kan kantum sechadioi v'lo amali davar." He never said to me anything.
Who didn't say Rabbi Shmuel?
Rabbi Shmuel, pum fakert. Is Rabbi Shmuel? Do we have a steer between Rabbi Shmuel and Kiva? And kishabasi eitz Rabbi Kiva asholai. We have a steer. There are two steers. First of all, the order of when he was Mishamish. In the previous Braisa, it says first he learned by Rabbi Akiva, and then he went to learn by Rabbi Yishmael. In this Braisa, it says first he learned by Rabbi Yishmael, and then he went to learn by Rabbi Akiva. And the second theory is, in the first Braisa, Rabbi Akiva was Matir, to add Kan Kantum, and Rabbi Yishmael was Oyser. And the second Braisa, it was Rabbi Yishmael that was Oyser, Rabbi Akiva was Matir. Right. A double stira. So Kashya Shimush, Ashimush, Koshio, service. Who did he learn by? Who was Mishamish? Okay. The order of Shimush. Was it first Rabbi Akiva and then Rabbi Shmuel? Was Rabbi Shmuel first, then Rabbi Akiva?
And Koshio,
Osher, who's the one that asked?
Yeah.
In the first price, it was Rabbi Shmuel, and the second was Rabbi Akiva. Yeah. So the Gemara's not a kash. Shimush, like Koshio, me, Koro, Osher, he went back. In other words, it's continuing the story. First, he learned by Rabbi Akiva. Then he learned by Rabbi Shmuel. And then he went back to Rabbi Akiva, like Ron Goldberg. He first goes to Ari Victor. Then he comes to speak. And then he goes back to Ari Victor for the Siyam. Because that's where the good food is.
Me.
Right? So it's a continuation of the story. So Osver, Bishop, he did not understand Rabbi Akiva's Shia. He didn't understand the shear. It's too complicated.
Because it says Rameir. So if that, he couldn't...
You didn't understand Rameir.
Charev.
And yet
Ramei couldn't understand Rabbi Akiva. Rameir was the Charev.
The Charev. Yet he didn't understand Rabbi Akiva, the Rebbe. Deloi kom motzei, deloi motzei kom alibe. So what did he do? Asked the Kamei Rabbi Shmuel. The Gemara. Oh, he went for remedial studies. by Rabbi Shmuel. And then when he got all the background, now he can go back to Rabbi Akiva for the heavyweight shiurim. Then he went back, Chod also coming to Rabbi Akiva. Savar Svara. And then he understood, he went into the depth of Rabbi Akiva. First he jumped too quickly. El Osra Osra Kasha. So the Gemara says, Kasha. And what's the rule, Mr. Goldberg? Whenever the Gemara says Kasha, and the Gemara does not say to Yufta, it means it's a lightweight question. And the Gemara is suggesting to you, think of the answer yourself. And what's the answer? Very easy. They changed their mind. What's the big deal? They changed their mind.
Who changed their mind?
Both, Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Akiva changes mind, Rabbi Shmuel changes mind. It's not so uncommon for people to change their mind. Or there are other answers. The Gemara doesn't want to give us the answer.
When he went to Rabbi Shmuel, he went to the same sugya that he didn't understand Rabbi Akiva. No?
Right. And then he went back, right? He got the background, whatever it was.
A half of a fellow, because for a male, it says, you couldn't understand Soif Data.
Right. Halacha l'maisa, how are we passing today? Halacha l'maisa, how are we passing today? Obviously, we pass in halacha l'maisa today that you're allowed to add ingredients into the diyoi to make it impossible to be erased. Yeah. If, again, if you go to any Sefer Torah and you dip it in water, it's not going to be erased.
Yeah.
No way. So halacha l'maisa will make it.
Yeah.
Okay, vayta Tanya. Tanya, we have another min Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda Oimer. You're allowed to air this ingredient to Dioi Chutz except for Miparsha Soita Bilvat. The only time you can't air this ingredient is Pasha. If you're writing a Ksav, a Megillah for a Soita, because since it has to be erased, if you're going to dip it into the water, it's not going to be erased. So what are you accomplishing over here? So that's why you don't air it. Rabbi Yaakov Amer Mishmoy Chutz Miparsha Soita Shal Mikdash. One says Parsha Soita, and one says Bishol Mikdash, my Benayu. And I'm hearing your Limchoy Glomina Torika Benayu. The Nafkamina is, when you write Parsha Soita in the Torah, in other words, let's say Bizman Azeh, Halach al-Maith, the more passes you're allowed to. But when a Soifer today, in the 21st century, writes in Parshas Nosoi, the Pasuk, Yitin Hashem Lucha Ha'olah, maybe the ink that he uses for that one Pasuk should not be with the standard ink that's not erasable. Because since the Gemara says that technically you can use that pasuk in the Sefer Torah, it has to meet the qualifications of it being erased. So maybe Bizman Azeh, did you ever hear Shechum like this? Bizman Azeh, yes, the Sefer. My Sefer Torah, we use ink that cannot be erased, and with Machmir, there's one pasuk, we use special ink that could be erased. In order to mekayim this Gemara, it's machloikis. One malam says no, you can use even that pasuk ink that's not going to be erased. And when it says b'mikdash, when they wrote it specially in the mikdash on a separate piece of parchment, not part of the Sefer Torah, then of course you don't have a choice. But does that require that every single Sefer Torah in the world, that specific pasuk, you should write with ink? No, not necessarily. That's not for me. All right, thank you for coming, have a good night.
It doesn't pay to be a sotah.
Guess not.